morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and we have a guest in our studio today, Farnaz Dar from North Penn Cleaning Solutions. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
But we're glad to have Dawn Cotillo back today, who is with the franchise of Be Balanced Centers. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
I am doing good, and I'm excited to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. You have exciting news since the last time we spoke. Tell us about that. You're local now to us. This is exciting.
I feel like just the need for women to look and feel their best and just have a non-medical approach to it is just causing us to expand. We've been franchising now, and we have two locations, one in King of Prussia, and the owner is Pam, and then the other location is in Bluebell, and that is Mary and Alice. And I just posted a picture on Facebook of me under their beautiful new sign. So they're opening next week, but they're pretty much both open for business. So if you go to BeBalancedCenters.com, there's a page that has the listings of the different franchises, because we have one in Harrisburg as well. It has their exact addresses on there, and they'll do free consultations or anything. So they'll be excited for us to send some Philadelphia people in there.
I think that's great. We need this in our local area. So, you know, so many women have issues, and this is being the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I think it's important if we talk about how hormones relate to breast cancer. So how many women really are affected in the United States with breast cancer?
Well, I always like to start off with a general statistic. It's basically 1 in 8. But, you know, and I'm not sure what percentage that is. What is that? That's more than, 20%, something like that, or 15, 20%, somewhere in there. But I think the most important thing to mention is that because the type of breast cancer that I studied, which we'll talk about, is that about 75 to 80% of those breast cancers are estrogen receptor positive. So have you guys heard of that? Have you heard of oh my gosh, estrogen causes breast cancer? Because I like to ask average women what they know. Would you have heard of that before? Or not?
I had never heard of it. My sister-in-law ended up having that type of breast cancer, and I was very shocked. I didn't actually realize all the different types of breast cancer.
This is the first time hearing of it. And I've definitely never heard of the estrogen factor in there.
Yeah. Okay. And that kind of comes to the next point is the purpose of Breast Cancer Awareness Month is really to make people aware. And what I feel, and I'm so happy for everybody raising money and all that, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, what happens with the money and all that, but I just feel like average women that are busy, we have kids, we have husbands, we have jobs, don't even know anything about the hormonal thing. So we're saying we're making women aware. Here's what I think is happening more, and I'm sure you've heard this. They'll remind you, please do self-exams monthly, which is a great idea. Please get your mammograms yearly they change it now to 50. It used to be 40, but now they change it to 50. So is that what you guys associate with breast cancer awareness? I mean, is that the type of information that you hear?
Oh, absolutely. The self-exams, always getting a mammogram, but really not the different types and how do hormones affect each different type and what you eat and your diet and such.
Right, because it makes it seem like, well, we're all just sitting around hoping that we'll catch the breast cancer in the beginning stages, and that really isn't ideal. Wouldn't it be neat if we could be a little bit more proactive? If we understand something, then you can prevent it, right? If you
Absolutely.
Know your enemy, then you can have a defense. It's a mechanism. That's what they do in the wars, right? They study the enemy and then come up with a defense tactic. So we kind of have to think of it more like that. So I just... There's nothing, I'm happy that everybody's wearing pink and we're doing different fundraisers, but a lot of times the average woman doesn't understand where that money's going, where the research is even headed. They don't even understand what they're researching, and they don't really even understand their bodies. And I kind of feel like that's a shame, and that's where with BeBalanced, because we work with hormones, we'd really like to talk about that. So that's what we're kind of our topic is for today.
I love that. I love the taking the preventative approach instead of the treatment reactive approach. That's excellent. So what can we do? How can us as women help balance our hormones that do affect the imbalances of breast cancer?
Here's the thing. Doctors, a woman doesn't really know much about the hormones and cancer, right? Like you two and many average women, they just don't know that much. Then all of a sudden, they'll get breast cancer, which is terrible. We're going to focus on estrogen receptor positive breast cancer. I just want to make it clear that that's what I'm talking about mostly this whole time, because that's what about 80% of the cancers are. So we'll focus on that. Some of these principles would apply to the ones that are double negative and all that, but just in general, that's the one we'll talk about today. So what will happen is they don't really know anything about hormones and breast cancer. Terribly, they're diagnosed with breast cancer. Maybe they get a lumpectomy or a actually a full mastectomy, or they'll get their chemo and their radiation. But then the doctor will bring up hormones at that point. So do you guys know the biggest drug that's usually after, you know, you've had your lumpectomy or a mastectomy, what the biggest drug is that they usually give to women to help them not have it reoccur and to help them with their hormones after breast cancer?
No, I don't.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. So that, and I probably know this more from being in the field, but it's pretty popular. It's tamoxifen. And I'm not, again, I'm not speaking against any drugs. I'm just saying that's the drug. And so the woman's like, well, what do I need tamoxifen? Like, I don't understand. What's this for? Well, you should stay on it for 5 years. And what tamoxifen is for is to push down or lower your estrogen in your body, because estrogen receptor positive breast cancer means your cancer tumor is actually stimulated by estrogen.
Huh.
Okay. So what would that make you think about estrogen? If you just heard all that, what would that make you think? Ooh.
Sounds too much is bad for you.
Definitely.
Right. Or estrogen itself is kind of bad. And I'm thinking, well, now that doesn't make a lot of sense, because God gave us estrogen. And if you think about it, if high estrogen caused breast cancer it by itself, which is kind of what they're saying with this drug, then every pregnant woman would have breast cancer. Every young woman would have breast cancer, because the younger the woman, the higher the breast estrogen levels are.
Sure.
So that doesn't really make sense. So I want to get into that today and explain a little bit more. But basically, the first time a woman hears about anything about hormones and breast cancer is when she's post-op and the doctor's saying, okay, here's tamoxifen. Well, what's this for? It's to lower your estrogen. Estrogen's bad because it can stimulate breast tissue. So I just want to let you know that's basically what is happening out there right now.
Okay.
So the link that I found is, if you don't mind, let's just take a second to review about the general hormone imbalance that most women have in our country. Because, like you know, most women have, right, PMS and menopausal symptoms, right? You know a ton of women that have those.
Yes.
Sure.
I'm afraid
that's very common. Right. So that's where we're all making our husbands and boyfriends or whatever cranky, and we're making them upset, and we're
emotional.
Driving our kids crazy.
Yep.
Right. But see, that imbalance, which we'll talk about real quickly here, is what causes PMS and menopausal symptoms for some women. If there's other toxins and other lifestyle factors or genetics, I'm not going to say genetics is all of it, a couple other things combined can mutate that and cause breast cancer. Not everybody has an imbalance gets breast cancer, but we all have the general imbalance. That's the foundation for getting breast cancer in our country. That's why so many women in our country, percentage-wise, there's more breast cancer here than in less developed countries. And that answer begins with an S. Do you remember what it is that causes all of the hormonal imbalances?
Oh, no, she's testing me.
Yeah.
Okay. I should know this.
I'm trying to absorb all of this new information.
I'll give you the first letters, STR. Remember the thing that causes all women to become imbalanced?
Men.
Stress.
No, men. Stress. Stress.
Oh, okay.
Men,
sorry.
Too. Yeah. Men cause the stress that causes the imbalance. So remember how we said, this is how simple this is. In our country, we're under a lot of stress. More than like in Europe, they're a little more relaxed. Other countries are a little more relaxed. So in our country, it's modern. We got a lot going on. Women have jobs and have kids and all this stuff. So stress raises our stress hormone cortisol, and it makes it high all the time. It's not supposed to be high all the time. So the body has a backup and says, well, let me give a little bit of progesterone, a woman's sex hormone, to make cortisol so the woman doesn't die. So it depletes our progesterone. Excess stress depletes our progesterone, and that causes us to seem like we have more estrogen. We're estrogen dominant. So if you have equal amounts of estrogen and progesterone, then you suck your progesterone away because of stress and it converts to cortisol, you're going to be estrogen dominant, and it's going to seem like you have more estrogen. That imbalance right there, estrogen dominance, causes all the weight, mood, sleep issues, PMS, menopausal symptoms, and it's the foundation for estrogen receptor positive cancers. I'll touch back in a minute. Well, I think I have a question on here about my study or whatever. We'll touch on that. I actually did a research study on that. So it's amazing that same imbalance, when the estrogen is dominant, the estrogen overstimulates things. Now, here's an example. Renee, you might remember this. I think it's a cute example. We think of teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers, you leave teenagers alone in the house too long, a bunch of teenagers at a party, someone's taking drugs, somebody's getting pregnant, the house could be burnt down, right? All right? I mean, can this happen with crazy teens,
mm-hmm.
right? So the absence of the parent, things bad can happen. But teenagers aren't bad people. We don't want to say, well, let's stop all teen pregnancy and all teen drugs by killing all the teenagers. That would be ridiculous. Would it work? Yeah, I guess if there's no teenagers on the planet, there's not going to be any teen pregnancy or any teen drug use, but it seems like overkill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So think of it this way. Estrogen is like a teenager. teenagers do very good thing. We love teenagers. We want them to be here. But when they're unsupervised, they get out of control. Same with estrogen. We need estrogen. It helps us ovulate. It helps our breast development. It helps our skin to be good. I mean, estrogen does a million things. But when the parent, which is progesterone is the other hormone that's meant to keep it in balance, just like the parent keeps the kids in line. When progesterone is out and estrogen's left alone in the house, damage can be done. Now, does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I think Farnaz understands with four teenage boys in the house. So
I do.
She's really getting that scenario.
So I really am interested in, well, what makes that estrogen slash teenager go bad in the first place, though?
Well, it's not that it's bad. It's the same teenager. It's okay. The same teenager, but when the parent's not with the discipline and the rules and watching them, they're going to do whatever they want. So estrogen is the same. We need estrogen. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, young girls have more estrogen than older women. But who gets breast cancer? The older women.
Right.
Because as a woman gets older, her progesterone goes lower and lower due to years and years and years of stress. So there's nothing wrong with teenagers, and there's nothing wrong with estrogen. But we do need the parent, or we need the progesterone, to keep the estrogen or the teenager in line. So
that's
by that scenario, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, what do we need to do? If we lower stress, that allows our progesterone to rise, or if we just gently raise progesterone, which we're going to talk about some tips, that's going to get that problem under control. If the parent is just gives the teenager some rules, you know, is with them at certain times, doesn't leave them alone too long, you know, just disciplines that, it's going to cut down on a lot of problems. I'm not saying there's not going to be some random problem here or there, just like there could be some random cancers that don't fit into the scenario, but estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, that's the main thing. So here is the scenario with the tamoxifen. And again, I'm just going to mention this because I'm not against tamoxifen. I'm just saying that I'm just naming what's going on. Tamoxifen is now taking all the estrogen and smashing it down and pushing it down and lowering the estrogen in the body so that it can't overstimulate the breast tissue to cause another tumor, because you obviously had a breast tumor and you had breast cancer. We don't want that to happen again. Does it work? Yeah. Does it make sense? Nah, not so much, because that's basically the same philosophy of saying if we just shipped all the teenagers off into the sea, or if we just killed them all, we won't have any more teen pregnancy. And we don't. Do you see what I'm saying? Would that work? Yes. Is it the best way? No.
Of course okay.
Not.
Okay. Sure. So that's what I'm saying. So again, women that are using tamoxifen, not against it, not saying anything bad. I'm just saying that is there better ways to prevent? And that's what I'd like to talk about today. But that's the connection. It's the dominance of estrogen and the low progesterone that will cause that. Now, to give you an example, what I had done, and it was a supervised study, and the director of research at Westchester years ago tabulated this. So it was tabulated professionally. We took 50 women with breast cancer, without breast cancer, and we looked at their hormone profiles, exactly where they were hormonally on paper from a lab test. Maybe a big lab did all their, we tested their hormones is what I'm saying. So we looked at the women's with breast cancer. They just recently had breast cancer. They weren't on any hormones or tamoxifen, and then we looked at the ones that didn't have any breast cancer, and we compared the two, because wouldn't that be neat to see what are the women that have breast cancer, what do they look like in their lab work, and what is the ones that don't have breast cancer, because let's see, it would be neat to be able to see if we can prevent it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm the smartest person in the world. I just thought, well, that makes sense, because my former partner did a lot of lab work, and he said this is something that we could do. It's very hard for us to get, you know, these women that breast cancer survivors, because I'm not a doctor. I don't have them coming to me right and left. It took us a while to gather the people. We did all their saliva. The lab looked at it, then Westchester tabulated it. And what we found was pretty much most women are low in progesterone. They just are. That's why they have PMS and menopausal symptoms. But the women with breast cancer had a specifically bad ratio of estrogen to progesterone. So you're supposed to have anywhere from, I'm going to give a range here, 400 to 600 progesterones to every one estrogen. Now, that's kind of funny, because it's not like we need 400 to 600 parents for every one teenager.
So right. Sometimes we do.
Sure.
Now, if that happened, we'd really, if there was 400 to 600 adults for every teenager, we wouldn't have any problem. But basically, it breaks down there. But basically, you're supposed to have, you know, more progesterone to every estrogen. Well, what happened is these women all had under 100. So they had under 100 progesterone for every estrogen, and that was most of them. Then but out of that group, I think it was 80% of them had less than 50. So they all had less than 100, but 80% of that group had less than 50. So you see what I'm saying? They had a really, really bad ratio. Their estrogen might have been average or low. It doesn't even matter where their estrogen levels were. It matters the ratio between the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. That does. That's that's interesting. I think I'm still stuck back at the U.S. has a higher rate of breast cancer than the rest of the world, so to speak. And I think a lot of times women, we stress is a cliche, and we all just kind of write it off as white noise and things. And I think that it's time we pay attention, that stress really is a factor.
Sure. Well, I can speak from my personal experience. I'm originally from a developing country, and I don't have anyone in my family who's had breast cancer, and it's just not something that is really spoken about there. And the things that you're pointing out, Dawn, stress related and so forth, that really is so clear. With their lifestyle compared to ours.
Sure. I mean, you've been to that. I mean, even in Europe. I mean, I haven't even been there, but all my clients go, whatever. Yeah. It's just more relaxed. Keep up with the Joneses. Do this, do that. So it's a little bit of our issue, and we've talked about it in the past in the different radio shows. We said, oh, if a woman can have 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes, that's all, to have her prayer time, her alone time. We talked about listening to sound wave therapy, something that relaxes the brain waves. If somebody wants to meditate, if they want to do yoga, like any of those things that just really relaxes them, and that's not even that long, and it could be their specific assignment time to pray. That would be great, instead of praying at night and falling asleep in bed, which half of us do. So it's just that will lower stress. Now, the other thing is, that's a good point about stress. Stress isn't just your teenagers, your husband, your job. Mm-hmm. That's all emotional stress. You got to forget that. You can't forget that if you're in pain, that raises cortisol. I got some back pain. I never get to the chiropractor. Mm-hmm. Chronic pain every day, that raises cortisol. If you are not sleeping well for whatever reason, you can't sleep or you don't get in bed, it doesn't matter, that raises cortisol. Too much sugar and artificial sweetener and chemicals in food, it causes a physical stressor that raises cortisol. Food you're sensitive raises cortisol. So too much artificial light, being around computers, all is stressful physiologically. So come on, who doesn't have that going on? Who's not in front of a computer? I'm under a computer. I'm under a light and in front of a computer right now.
Well, that's a good, important point. It's environmental also. It's not just emotional.
So it's the constant stimulation. Constant stimulation everywhere we go. In the car.
That's what it is. So again, having that alone time will help with that. Sure, watch your diet. You know, we're going to talk about some other tips to do. But that's why. So if you want to go live in a desert island, literally, you will decrease your risk of breast cancer tremendously because you're not going to have your
teenagers.
Husband, your kids.
I'm out of here.
You're not
going to
have teenagers around
you. You're not going to have teenagers.
Hawaii,
but
here I come.
Right. You won't have the artificial light. You'll live by a fire. You won't have. So you see people in the olden days and in more developing countries, they don't have all this. So it's really important to understand that we're all at risk. Even if your husband's perfect and your kids are perfect, you're still around a computer, you're in pain, you didn't sleep, you know, you've got toxins in your food. So I think that's really all that's really important. And what I tried to show with this test is, instead of getting, I don't know if you guys, have either of you heard of the BRCA gene test? It's like it's very expensive. I don't even know if anybody can get it or has to be your doctor.
No.
Okay,
no.
It's Angelina Jolie got it.
Oh.
And it's you can get it. It's, if you have a lot of history of breast cancer, and I think maybe your doctor could prescribe it for you. If, let's say, your mom and your sister and your aunt have breast cancer. It's a genetic test to see if you're genetically predisposed to breast cancer.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense. That'd be nice to know, right? Mm-hmm. Problem is, there's plenty of women that get the BRCA gene test and says positive, they never get breast cancer. There's plenty of women that get breast cancer that test negative on that test.
Foolproof?
It's not foolproof. Yeah. And if you get it, now you're worried about it all the time, and that's going to raise your cortisol and stress level. So, again, not against the BRCA gene. I'm thrilled with any type of genetic testing. But wouldn't it be neat to say, wow, you know what? My great aunt had breast cancer, and my one sister had it. I'm a little worried. I'm in my 20s or 30s. Why don't I get a saliva hormone test, see where my hormones are, and see if they look like the women that have estrogen receptor breast cancer, which is the most big, the most popular breast cancer. Why don't I see? And if they are, oh, my progesterone is getting low, my ratio is getting out of balance compared to these, maybe I could do something about it sooner. Does that make sense? Like maybe I can prevent it.
Yeah, I love that. And I know you've written the book, The Hormone Shift, so I know you're so versed in the hormones. So how can we help those treat this naturally and be more preventative? We're down to our 5 minutes here, so give us some good tips.
I'm rambling on. Well, a couple of real quick tips that women can do is whenever you lower your sugar, lowering sugar, cancer cells feed on sugar. So So lowering sugar is going to help you with a million things, losing weight, your mood and all that. We talked about it. That's going to be help preventing female-related cancers. Also eating more cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and kale. That really helps the liver get rid of excess fake estrogens that we can get in our bodies from plastics and things like that. And increasing natural progesterone. We deal with it at Be Balanced. Other people do. We're not the only ones. Increasing natural progesterone will help you with your mood, weight, and sleep, but it'll also have that protective, that parental effect on the estrogen. So those are the three things. And to tell if you have a hormone imbalance at all, if you have any type of PMS and menopausal symptoms, you do, but you can also go to our website, BeBalanceCenters.com. We have a simple symptom-based questionnaire because symptoms will show you what you have. And if you have any of those symptoms in different ratios, that shows that your progesterone is low and your estrogen dominant. So we've talked about that before. Does that make sense? Like just kind of seeing where you're at?
Yes, it does. So real quickly, why don't doctors know all this information, or why aren't they not relating all this information?
I think it's that doctors a lot of times are, well, I've fed a certain information by drug companies, and that's okay because that's where they learn. They learn a certain amount of hormones in school, but they're not specializing in that. So, again, I did more research specifically looking at the ratios of hormones, and I specifically studied hormones. So the thing is, progesterone is not talked about. I mean, didn't I just spend so much time talking about progesterone? It's not talked about because doctors aren't educated on it. My personal belief is because it's not patentable. Anybody can get progesterone. You want to get a good one, but you can get. Whereas estrogen replacement therapy, synthetic estrogen, synthetic progesterones you can patent, but synthetic progesterones like that are in HRTs, they actually have been proven to cause cancer. So you don't want to do that. So now it's like it up in the air. They're saying, oh, we don't want to give women synthetic estrogen and progesterone so you can just deal with all your symptoms. So we're saying, no, you can still do natural progesterone. And as a woman ages, if she keeps her progesterone up, Dr. John Lee said this, and he wrote many books on hormones. Dr. John Lee says, if you keep your progesterone up where it should be, a woman can continue to make her own natural estrogen from her fat and her skin cells even after menopause. So that's the theory we go by. We help lower cortisol, balance blood sugar, raise progesterone, and then let a woman keep her natural estrogen coming. Because natural estrogen that you make will never cause cancer. It's only when you drain your progesterone, you get out of balance, that's when it can happen. Or if you take synthetics, or we get a lot of fake estrogens in through other sources as well. That's what can stimulate the breast cells and can cause the breast cancer.
Okay, Dawn. So how, if our audience needs more information, how can they find you?
They can just go to BeBalanceCenters.com, email us. It says it right on there, contact us. And I can even send them the breast cancer study that we did. I can send them more information on tips on preventing female-related cancers. And then our website has a lot of information. Just getting balanced, right? That's what this program is about. If you live a balanced lifestyle, you're not going to have these extreme diseases. And again, that's not to say anybody that had breast cancer, it's their fault. We're not saying that. We're just saying, isn't it neat to get to take this power back and start to live something you can control, live a more balanced life, and then you can prevent some of these dread diseases.
I think that's wonderful. We so appreciate you being with us today, Dawn Cotillo of BeBalanceCenters.com. Also, she is the author of The Hormone Shift. Thank you so much, Dawn. You've helped so many women.
It's great to be here and talk to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Farnaz Dar.
Thank you, Renee, for having me.
Solutions. We greatly appreciate it. All right, Dawn, one more time, your website and phone number.
It's BeBalanceCenters.com, and our main flagship center phone number is 717-569-3040. But if they go on the website, they can find the phone numbers of the centers in Philadelphia, which is they're going to be closer to, the Bluebell and the King of Prussia.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. A balanced life is being preventative, and a balanced life matters. We appreciate everyone being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I'm Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts.
Be my soul. Be my life, Jesus.
It's time to begin planning for the holidays. Hi, I'm Dennis Gaiman with Gaiman Design Remodeling. If you recall thinking last year that you need more room before you host Thanksgiving or Christmas this year, now is the time to start planning. Kitchens, bathrooms, room additions, great rooms, tearing down walls, structural improvements, all these kinds of things take time and planning. Contact us at 215-513-0300 or online gaimanremodeling.com. It's GEHMAN remodeling.com.
center. Be my source, be my life.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable, the host with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And this morning we welcome Dennis Gaiman from Gaiman Design Remodeling. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. Good to be here.
Great. Thank you. Dennis, I just love your story. If you could please tell us how you started with Gaiman Design Remodeling, that would be great.
Well, our 25th anniversary is coming up October 1st, but it started a long time before that. From a little boy, I just always wanted to be a carpenter. And I know I got that interest from my dad, who never worked as a professional tradesman, but always would do things around the house. And I enjoyed following him around and working with him. And my parents encouraged me, figured that carpentry was an admirable trade and a way to provide a living. And followed that on up through school. Actually, in high school, I went to Vo-Tech school, but for architecture. But then out of high school, didn't figure I could see myself sitting behind a desk at that point. So I worked with the tools. And so the design build part of our business came about by putting those two together, the architectural training that I had in Vo-Tech school and then the hands-on experience with carpentry.
We always say everything you do in your lifetime brings you to what you do
Yeah.
today. And I think even starting out with Legos and blocks, you know, teach children how to build. And I see that parallel with your life in a way. And I see you now with your children who are part of the business.
Right.
And also your grandchildren. Or you teach them how to build with Legos. And
do they
have a little workbench?
Somewhat. My boys did. Haven't had that yet for our grandsons, but they've done some hammering along with me. That's where it begins. And then my goal is not to push them in any one direction, but oftentimes things do go by generations because children look up to their parents and grandparents and may follow along.
Now, Dennis, I know that several family members are in your business, but your business has grown beyond even your family. You have a great team out in the field.
We do. Yeah, actually, the business grew before the family members were old enough to join us. So we are blessed at this point. There's 22 of us, and 13 of those are tradesmen. Men that work with their tools, doing the carpentry, electric, tile, you know, all the things that it takes to do a home improvement remodeling project. Both of our sons have worked for us as tradesmen. They're currently working in the office, kind of learning that aspect of running the business. Our son-in-law does our marketing and website things, and our daughter Kayla, who is a CPA, is our CFO, and my wife Glenda works along with her in bookkeeping. So yeah, there's six of us that direct family members who work in the business.
That's great. And also I know that several of your tradesmen have special certifications and ones that are rare in the industry too. They're specially skilled.
Early on in business, I felt like I knew a fair amount about construction and how to build things, but I soon realized that I did not know much about the business side of things. And so I am very grateful that I was able to join up with NARI. NARI is an acronym for National Association of the Remodeling Industry. I was a charter member of the Bucksmont chapter and the president of that chapter a few years later, and currently am president of NARI BIE, which is based in the Pottstown area, serving the Tri-County area there. BIE is an organization that was around as the Building Industries Exchange since 1952, and a little over 3 years ago teamed up with NARI. And a big reason for them teaming up with NARI was the continuing education and certification programs that NARI has to offer. The analogies that I give, it's much like you can be an accountant without being a CPA. And you can be a carpenter, you can be an electrician, you can do all those things and do the trade well, but maybe not know the business side of things. So the certifications offer that. We have certified remodeler, we have a certified kitchen and bath remodeler, we have certified lead carpenters, there's certified green professional. Those are certifications that our team members have. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania does not have very stringent requirements at all for becoming a contractor. And most of the time when we're working on people's houses, that's the largest investment that they have to their name. And so things should be done right. Even if it's not a large investment, things should still be mm-hmm. done right. And so by us taking that extra step to have our employees certified, we want to extend assurance to the people that we're working for that we know what we're doing. And it's not just us saying so, but that we've taken coursework, we've taken tests, and required continuing education to maintain those certifications.
Yeah, I think the continuing education is such a strong asset for any type of company, and you're always wanting to keep that high integrity and character in your work and such. Tell us, so what is your service area? Where do you go? I know we're live on WebStream, but mm-hmm. you're located on Main Street of Harleysville.
Correct. We're at 355 Main Street, Harleysville, mm-hmm. which is Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Our predominant service area is Bucks and Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. But we'll go out to an hour's drive away. So we've done some work in Westchester, just currently working in the city of Philadelphia, up into the Lehigh Valley area. And part of why we keep that in check is, one, so we can service our clients with the professionalism that they deserve. And the other one is that since we don't use subcontractors, all the work is done by our employees. And so I'm mindful that in order for them to keep a balanced life, they can't be getting up at all hours of the morning or working too late into the evening. So we do our best to keep that balance that way.
I love that. Bringing it full circle back to balanced life. It's so true. And it's great that your company helps people to do so with their homes. As you said, it's the biggest investment. So, Dennis, I noticed your company's name is Gaiman Design Remodeling, but sometimes I think people wonder, what does the design part and design build? You're a design build remodeler. What does that mean?
Well, what it means to us is that we're in essence a one-stop shop. We have designers on staff. Oftentimes people, when they call us, they have some kind of an idea. The internet is a great resource for finding pictures of projects and, oh, this is what I'd like my kitchen to be or my addition. And so we begin with that. But generally speaking, we can't replicate that exact thing in their space because the dimensions are different or sometimes budget comes into play. But to work with them through that process, so we have an upfront process of working with one of our remodeling consultants and the designers that we have. We use CAD software. CAD is an acronym for computer-aided design. So we're able to show them in a sense, cartoon style, but it's three-dimensional so that we can drop a camera into the room and rotate it around. They get a pretty good idea of what their project's going to look like before we get into the big dollars of, digging a foundation or tearing the old kitchen out. We want to make sure that they know what they're getting into. So design build, and then there is a retainer that we ask for that design process. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we continue to earn their business as we go along. Once the project's all designed and we can then come up with an exact dollar cost, it's going to be so many $1,000 and 17 cents, or whatever mm-hmm. it comes to. If they move forward using Gaiman Design Remodeling for the contractor to actually do the renovations, the upfront retainer money gets applied toward that contract. So they're not locked into using us to build the project, but hopefully we earn that. And, you know, it's a little softer way. The design part's not near as expensive as the actual construction. And kind of wade into the water, dip your toes in before you got to dive in.
No, I think that's great. And I think some people get overwhelmed with the whole remodeling thought process, but I know you help them through that and make it an easy process. And I think that today consumers are so much more educated. They are watching the HGTVs. They do have more ideas, and the internet gives them. So that probably ends up being more helpful for your business.
It does. Yeah, because it makes it easier. We have a kitchen and bath showroom. And so, you know, that's helpful because when we're talking about a specific feature of a cabinet, we can walk over and, you know, into the showroom and take a look at it, show them different options of, for instance, how a corner cabinet Lazy Susan could work and function. But the internet is very useful in especially figuring out styles. You know, you start off with, okay, you want a new kitchen. Well, what type cabinets? You know, are they raised panel or flat panel? Is it a modern look? Is it traditional stained wood or painted? And, you know, you go through all those things and just asking, you know, those three or four questions, some people become overwhelmed. And our job is to help walk them through that in a way that's going to work for individual personalities. Some people want to come in and we get all those selections made in, you know, a few hours, and other people, an hour is enough. So we get one or two things done that day, and then the next week we work on some more and, you know, make it work for them.
Piece by piece. Yeah. I know you put out a weekly article that's very informative and read-worthy. You put it out on Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, and on your website, and that's very helpful on gameandremodeling.com. So I do encourage our audience to find information there that is extremely helpful on how Game and Design Remodeling can help. But going back to the whole design build and your architectural background and building background, you know, structural parts and changes are sometimes intimidating for folks. Moving a wall or taking down a wall or moving a post or pole, or so you're very savvy at that. You like that challenge. You like being more creative. Is that true?
That's true. We like that challenge. There's one aspect of design is coming up with a design, and the other part is the structural part of it. Okay, in order to achieve that design, the look that we desire, we know that a wall's got to be moved. And first question is, well, is it load-bearing? Is it holding the second floor or the roof up? And if so, you know, what do we have to do with that? So we work then closely with the structural engineer to make sure we have the proper size beam and posts and foundations in place so we can take those walls out. And oftentimes that load-bearing wall's the wall in the middle of the house, in essence, and with forced air heat and air conditioning, there's ductwork that many times is in there, so we got to reroute the ductwork and plumbing pipes and find a new home for them, because now we don't want it to be that you have a nice kitchen but the bedrooms are cold. So, you know, it's that whole aspect. And by us doing all these trades in-house, we have many years of experience in all facets of it. And so it's not just one or two people who are looking over each project. It's a team of people who are looking at it so that we're sure we don't miss things.
It sounds, yeah, like a major undertaking. I'm thankful there's folks out there like you that can have that vision and know what's behind those walls. I mean, as a female, you know, I just like to put gas in a car and it goes. But to realize when you take down drywall and there's actually wires and plumbing and studs back there, and they serve a purpose. And I think you really do need that engineering and structural side.
Certainly.
Yeah. To make sure you do have a sound foundation, because sometimes on these shows that we've mentioned on TV, there's been shoddy contractor work and such. And you know, I'm sure you've repaired many of those. And
that's right.
So I think it's very important to have these credentials and know the structural side.
Yeah. And we've saw the value in that, I'm not even sure how many years ago already, and realized that people want that satisfaction. I would say the stereotypical warranty for contractors is 1 year. And we've extended our full workmanship warranty to 5 years, and we have a 10-year structural warranty. So we want to, you know, we want to assure people that we're confident of the work that we've done, that there aren't going to be issues. And, you know, thankfully there haven't been. You know, we haven't had any structural warranty calls in our 25 years in business. There's been, I wish I could say there was no warranty calls, but that wouldn't be the truth. When a warranty call does come in, we apologize that it needed to be, but we make good on it. And quite honestly, that's some of the best marketing dollars that we spend, is when there is an issue and how we respond to it promptly, and you know, don't try to wiggle out of our responsibility, but make things right.
Exactly. I'm in marketing, and I always say it's not that there is a problem, it's in how you handle it.
Yeah.
And that's so true. And I mean, I've never heard of anybody in the remodeling industry backing up their work for 5 years. So I think that in itself says so much. I think that's really wonderful. So how do you choose a design build remodeler? How does one go about doing that?
Well, I think initially, talk to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, you know, family members, and ask if they've had experience, because word of mouth is always the best way to find, you know, any kind of business. The internet is a good resource these days. You can find reviews for all kinds of things, on from Google reviews to Facebook and house.com, Pinterest, Angie's List, all those kinds of things. And then invite the potential contractor, design build contractor, to come and meet with you and in essence do an interview. I always tell people that the first time we meet with them, and our preference is to have that meeting at their home, because that's usually where the project's going to take place. But that meeting, it's important to talk about the project, but it's as much about getting to know one another. And, you know, my advice is that I want you to be perfectly comfortable with who we are, how we operate. If you have any apprehensions, then it's not a good fit. And God's made us with different personalities, and sometimes that comes into play. It doesn't mean anybody's a bad person. It's just better to recognize that maybe we don't want to put, you know, that square peg in the round hole kind of thing and force it. Because if there's apprehensions before construction, it won't get any better. When you're in the middle of things, there's dirt and dust and noise, and you got guys showing up to work at your house at 7 o'clock every morning, and maybe you're not an early morning person to begin with. And, you know, so all those things are a stretch. And if you don't feel like you can be comfortable in asking questions to understand why things are done in a certain way, or bringing up concerns, then you shouldn't be proceeding with that contractor.
True. I think you have to have a connection with the person that will be in your home. And I've known Dennis for some time now, and he is a great listener. And I think that's sometimes what other contractors are missing, is that ability to listen. What does the customer need? Not what you want them to do.
Every project we do, it's about the homeowner, that they're going to live there. They're paying for it. And we want them to feel really good about it. And we want to feel good about it, too. And, you know, as long as they're happy, we're going to be happy with it as well. Being a good listener is a tool that's very important. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes along right with that, but being someone who can ask good questions and ask the questions and let them answer it, especially when we're going through the design phase, to get an understanding of what it is that they want. By us asking questions and listening to them, maybe they can't really verbalize the whole thing, but we kind of put the pieces together and then can create this picture. Sometimes we can go right to a picture of a previous project that we've done and say, is this the kind of your thing you're thinking about? Other times we got to get the, you know, pad and paper out, and we start doing some hand sketches. Even before we get into the computer design.
Because not everybody is visual.
Right.
You know, I have such a hard time visualizing. I need a person like you to be able to put that picture together because it is an investment then. It's,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that.
It certainly is, yeah. And, you know, I want to be open to people asking us questions as well.
Yeah.
Because that to me, that's part of getting to know one another is that understanding through that whole process. We already mentioned HGTV and DIY and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. They are good resources. And what I find is when we begin this process, people more than they had in the past delve into those because they have maybe a better understanding of or they have a purpose for wanting to look this time and they come up with ideas. And through the whole process, the biggest challenge is most of the time, yeah, the answer is we can do it. It's can your budget afford it? And, you know, our work would be a whole lot more fun if we didn't have to worry about budget, but that's not a reality on this earth. So,
but I'm sure your knowledge, I'm sure you're knowledgeable enough to be able to give them the compromises that still match their wants and needs too.
Sure. We do our best. Our goal mm-hmm. is to make sure that we design a project that's going to work within the budget that we've mm-hmm. agreed upon up front. And almost always we sort of have this shopping list of options, you know, mm-hmm. things that came up along the way that they'd like mm-hmm. to do. And if they work in the budget, that's great. I mean, certainly we're in business and yeah. So, you know, we need people to buy things to keep going, mm-hmm. but you know, we don't have to make all of our money on any one project. Thankfully, there's lots of people in our area and lots of houses that people want to have work done on.
No, I think that's great. And Dennis, in talking to you, you do so much. How do you balance life with your volunteer, your board work, your church, your family, you're a business owner? Bringing this back full circle, how do you balance life?
Well, it is hard at times, but mm-hmm. I've been blessed as our business has grown. I have a little bit more freedom because I don't have to do everything myself. And my employees understand that. To me, God comes first mm-hmm. and then family. And work is important. Thankfully, I enjoy my work, so it can be easy to spend too much time there. But part of having the resources God has blessed us with is not being selfish and keeping them all for ourselves. And that includes time and it's being involved on nonprofit boards and with church and those kinds of things. So in order to do that, it's setting priorities and seeking the Lord, mm-hmm. Asking Him for wisdom and mm-hmm. And getting counsel from my wife. That's probably the number one reason.
I'll tell you, every day I say we re-strategize uh-huh. and try to be better the next day. And yeah, some of it is compartmentalizing, I think, you know, between being that business owner and but I like that. The wife's the boss. That really is, that's really working. Have you told Glenda this or she knows that already?
She knows that. And I'd like to think I'd have this down pat, but I know in my head that a happy wife is a happy life, but there are times I mess up.
We all do. It's all right. We're not perfect either, yeah. Right? So, you know, and you've invested 25 years into your business. I think it's mighty fine that you have a few extra minutes than you used to.
Thank
you know, you invested your time and you're so well respected in the community and you give back so much. You're involved with Johnny and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
Johnny and Friends is a Christian ministry to people with disabilities and their caregivers. And there's a local office in Souderton, Pennsylvania that I've been involved with. And, there's a big need within the Philadelphia mm-hmm. region. It's estimated that there's close to 1 million people that have disability of some sort.
Oh, really? Just in our area?
Just in our area. Now, that's from South Jersey to, you know, like the Poconos and Harrisburg, kind of that radius. But that's a lot of people, and life's not always easy for them. So Absolutely. When we can do things to help them, that's a blessing.
That's a wonderful organization to be a part of. So, Dennis, if someone would like to get in touch with Gehman Design Remodeling, how would they do so?
Well, many people want to look before they talk, so the website is GehmanRemodeling.com. Gehman is spelled G-E-H-M-A-N, Gehman Remodeling, just one word, GehmanRemodeling.com, or our phone number, 215-513-0300.
They have a beautiful photo gallery on their website. I encourage you, if you want ideas or have thoughts in your mind, just give them a call. They are an excellent company of integrity. So we are here today with Dennis Gehman from Gehman Design Remodeling. We thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For coming. I am Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts for Balanced Life.
Jesus, be the center. Be my hope.
It's time to begin planning for the holidays. Hi, I'm Dennis Gehman with Gehman Design Remodeling. If you recall thinking last year that you need more room before you host Thanksgiving or Christmas this year, now is the time to start planning. Kitchens, bathrooms, room additions, great rooms, tearing down walls, structural improvements, all these kinds of things take time and planning. Contact us at 215-513-0300 or online, GehmanRemodeling.com. It's G-E-H-M-A-N, remodeling.com.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle.